Chapter 2, The French Revolution Through to the End of Napoleon. What is it that Chip says at the end of Disney's animated Beauty and the Beast? Are they going to live happily ever after, Mama? And we have to ask, do they? We have to ask because the traditional story of Beauty and the Beast is usually set somewhere in the mid to late 1700s in Rococo France. Which, as a side note, means that Belle's iconic, deeply shoulderless, canary-yellow ball gown in the animated feature just might be a bit anachronistic, considering how fashionable wide-side cage panniers on skirts were and how impossible it was to create such bright and clear yellow fabric in that era. Side panniers were cages worn under the clothing and attached to the body of the woman on a belt at the waist and were used to create a wider-than-she-is flat silhouette. Bright and clear color only became possible with the invention of synthetic fabric dyes later in the 1800s and even 1900s. This painting of Princess Louise Marie by François-Hubert Drouais may be a closer approximation of what Belle's dress would have looked like complete with side panniers. The setting of Princess Louise Marie's portrait is fitting of Belle, though. It's a library. Belle's animated dress departs from fashion norms of its time in many ways, but one of the most startling beyond the bell-shaped silhouette, more fitting of styles to come 100 years later in Victorian England, is the neckline. Plunging necklines, like the one on Princess Louise Marie's dress, were very common. But combining a low front with a very off-the-shoulder neckline and a barely-there slip of sleeve would have been bordering on unacceptably scandalous in Rococo France. While the lowest of fronts was only for the most adventurous dresser, and a smidge of shoulder showing was quite flirtatious, to show the full shoulder and arm would have been beyond acceptable standards for even the most rule-floating of women. Even though Rococo fashion was adaptable to an individual's personal taste in many ways, the majority of dresses had just past the elbow sleeves, and the upper arm was rarely bared. While Belle wears long gloves in the animated feature to counteract the amount of skin shown by her bare shoulders and arms, gloves were not common, although they did make an occasional appearance in Rococo France, and wouldn't have distracted from her alarmingly unclothed appearance. With this in mind, if you're wondering, after looking at Princess Louise Marie's dress, how a woman's chest stayed in her clothing when the bodice was cut so low and only bordered by lace, well, the answer is that it usually didn't. French fashion of the period was greatly varied, but extremely low-cut bodices were frequent, and the accidental, but inevitable, wardrobe malfunction was often simply part of the price of high fashion and was not considered as utterly reputation-ruining as a fully bare arm and shoulder. But returning to Chip's question regarding Belle's future happiness, approximately 5 to 20 years after the close of the movie, some things in France begin to change. Changes began to creep in, even in a provincial town that used to be a quiet village every day like the one before. While Belle's ideologies and values align fairly well with the beliefs of the philosophers of the Enlightenment, and she definitely would have supported them, she had the misfortune of marrying into the aristocracy. In the events that followed the last happy closing scenes of Beauty and the Beast, being part of the aristocracy was bad for one's health. Perhaps even worse. Chip himself would have grown up and either have been called up or joined voluntarily to fight as a soldier, or he would have been exiled back to England as he and his mother were obviously British. What is the event that would have so disrupted the lives of Belle and her prince? The French Revolution. The French Revolution is a complicated series of events, and it can be easy to become bogged down in the details of what happened first and then what happened next, while not forgetting what came in between times. For art history, the French Revolution is a dramatic and devastating series of events. Essentially, it ran from 1789 to 1795, although some say it went right up to 1815, while others say it went to 1799. The date range of the revolution depends on where you decide the revolution ends, as everyone agrees on the date that it started. Some sources will say it ended with Napoleon's first exile, while others say it ended with the rise of the Bourbon monarchy. Others posit it ended with the final exile of Napoleon and its final democracy. Art history tends to label the end of the revolution with the rise of Napoleon, as he ushered in his own changes to the art and culture of France. This isn't to say that French politics were completely stabilized by the rise of an emperor, but rather that the revolutionary aspect of the period gave way to a new approach, and the art and material culture of the time reflects that. The French Revolution irrevocably changed the face of French culture. As an agent of cultural change, the revolution tends to often be talked about in bright and celebratory terms. However, to To uncritically celebrate the French Revolution means to ignore the incredible violence and loss of life the revolution brought to France. In some ways, the French Revolution brought about some good things. Slavery, long abolished in mainland France, was, in 1794, declared illegal in the French colonies. In 1791, the new radical government opened the Salon to all artists, including women, regardless of political affiliation. The revolution also gave birth to the Public Art Museum. In 1793, when revolutionary forces sought to democratize access to art and the cultural power it holds by removing the monarchy from the Louvre and opening the government's art holdings to the public. Regardless of the good changes wrought by the French Revolution and the good intention of the revolutionaries in the early days of the upheavals, things very quickly turned into brutal violence, deaths, and fighting between factions in the revolutionary forces.